Or even really think about when we connect to Jesus, right? We think of that smiling, happy Jesus that's with the children, the Jesus that's healing people, the one who's loving people, and he's just, you know, this wonderful, warm, and fuzzy person that we know. We forget that, yes, Jesus was fully human, but also Jesus was fully divine. That means Jesus was God in human flesh, and, you know, we need to remember that. Last time we talked about Jesus, his transfiguration, where his glory appeared and he was whiter than any white than can be bleached on this earth, right? The three disciples, James, John, and Peter, they saw this and they experienced a piece of the kingdom. They got a taste of the kingdom of heaven right then and there. So Jesus was God. And so he gets angry when in the temple he sees that people were selling cattle and sheep and doves, and people were doing things that, yes, there was a need for sacrifice, but the intent was all distorted because it became more about the money and the transactions than it did about having a relationship with God, about being sorry for their sin and their sacrifice being an extension of that repentance. So Jesus took a whip of cords, and he drove them all out of that table, that area. There's a lot going on in this scene. Not only is Jesus going around driving everyone out, you've got the money sellers and the money changers. They're trying to hold on to the cattle that's running away, the money, the coins that are being falling to the ground. And as this is happening, then on the side, you've got the disciples there trying to figure out what's going on. And the disciples remembered the scriptures where the psalmist writes, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Don't forget, Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. So God had already told the people through the prophets of the one who's going to come and save them. They just had to understand and connect. And so the disciples connected at that moment. There's so much going on. And then you've got the Jews coming and saying, on whose authority is Jesus doing all these things? And they're going to ask for a sign. Have you ever felt like everyone around you was going in all different directions? You know that cartoon where you're just frozen still? And then this one's going that way, that one, that family member's going that way, and you just can't control them all as much as you try. It's just chaos. I have felt like that in the church. Can you imagine as many people as there are here? That's how many different viewpoints there are as to how things should be done. And everyone's going this way, or maybe that way. I don't know. We're all going in different directions. So we have to focus. And as we read this today, I think the bottom line for us and the message for us, and I think for them, is to understand and focus on what is God trying to tell us. What's Jesus trying to tell them? The bottom line is, Jesus is upset because the purpose of the temple was not being followed. It was distorted. People had made it a marketplace, and instead of it being a place of prayer where they can encounter God. And you and I need to take this seriously, because we can read about this event that happened more than 2,000 years ago and say, well, what does that have to do with me today when I'm going through these challenges, when I've got health problems, I've got life and death issues, I've got a kid who's struggling, I've got a mortgage that needs to be paid, I have things that are overwhelming me. What does that event matter for me today? It does, my friends, it does. And our kids got it right in one, you know? Well, two or three, not in one. All of them got it. This place needs to be a place of prayer. This place and our relationships have to be one where God is made known, where we worship and praise God. And as we receive his Spirit, you know, we share that with each other, with the community. This has to be a place where people can find God. So as we try to understand what that means for us today, let's pray. Because we can try to figure it out all we want, but we're all going to have a different answer. We need to find one answer by the one who created us. So let's pray. Holy God, I pray for each person here. There can never be too much prayer, because prayer is what connects us to you, puts us direct connection and line with you so we can hear from you. Receive your peace. Receive your strength. And so come, Holy Spirit, help us to understand where we've gone wrong and how we need to reconnect back to you and make this place a place of prayer. All this we pray in Christ. Amen. So first I want to put things in context, because we can easily go off one direction. But listen, the Jews, they were following tradition that had been followed from the time of Moses about offering animals as a sign of the sacrifice, as a sign of confessing our sins, offering atonement. And God had told them to do that. So, you know, they weren't off base totally. They were trying to buy the doves, buy the cattle as a symbol, as a sign of their atonement, understanding that they had sinned. And so it was a good tradition. The problem was, in fulfilling the traditions, in following the traditions, what happened is that the priorities changed. Instead of the focus being an understanding that we have sinned, I have sinned, and so this offering that I'm offering is a, you know, reminder of that sin, and we're trying to receive forgiveness, it became more about a checklist to do. And the focus became more on selling and buying and making it a marketplace. That was the mentality. A transactional. I do this and I get this, you know? Problem was, Jesus knew that that was distorted. And so he wanted people to get back to having a relationship with God, to making this place a house of prayer. You and I are in danger of falling into that same trap, my friends. But thanks be to God, because God always gives us another chance to get it right, another way to get our priorities back in order. So today, I want to focus on us. How have we cared for God's house, for God's people? Have we made this place into a house of prayer, or has it turned into a transactional marketplace mentality? While we don't hear this in the John version, I mean in Matthew's version, Gospel of Matthew chapter 21 verse 13 of the cleansing of the temple. You know, we heard the reading today, but it elaborates a little bit more in Matthew. Here's what Jesus says. It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. God's house was one where the focus should be on God. Worship and praising him, talking it to him, making it all about God. That's what it should be. But sadly, that's not the case. During this time of Lent, you and I have been called to a time of self-reflection, understanding how we're doing in our spiritual journey. How are we doing in following the teachings and commandments that Jesus has told us and spoken to us over and over again? If we're going in the wrong direction, what Jesus says is repent, turn back to me, turn back to God. So what I'm about to say, take it with a heart of self-reflection. Because there might be some things that we're not doing that are in line with what God has intended this place to be. And we have to be open to that. Open that to hearing Jesus tell us this is a house of prayer. We're supposed to engage with God, talk to him, listen to him. That's the focus. But how many times, my friends, we make this a place to make it a place where we're comfortable? What do I mean by that? When we start thinking of how we want the worship to look in a way that makes sense to us, whether it's the hymns, we want the hymns that we want. We want to sit where we want to sit. We want to make this in a place where when we come in and offer our tithes ourselves, we want God to bless us. You know, that's a transactional mentality where we make it about us, where we expect God to bless us with health, finances, providing us good things. In fact, sometimes I hear this in the church, and I try to stop it when I hear it. When we're doing some ministry or something, and we're inviting people to serve, I hear a response where some people say, okay, I'll do this for you. You've heard that, right? That's not how we are to approach things in the church. We're doing it for God. Amen. When we hear people say, this is my church, and maybe I gave something to the church and I want it to be displayed here. And anytime if it's moved, we say, no, where's the thing that I gave for the church? It needs to be here. My friends, it's become about us, right? Even, and I know these are hard things to hear, I'm not pointing at anyone, I'm in the same boat with you. We get into that same marketplace mentality where, you know, we begin to think, I'm doing this and this, and so it should be, in return, transactional, God should do this for me. And if we've fallen into that, my friends, I pray that you would hear the words of our Lord who says, my house should be a place of prayer. It's not a marketplace. It's not a place where we give. We can never give enough because God has given his only son for us. No one, there's nothing we can do to repay that. We can live here in the church, give everything we have, serve 24/7, and even that's not enough. Here's what Paul reminds us in Romans 3, verses 23 to 25. Since we, and it's a we, because I'm in this with you, since we have compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, have we not? And prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives that God wills for us. God did the work for us. What work? God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear our record of sin. And what is sin? It's any time we do things our way, where we get our priorities mixed up and we place ourselves as God because things should be done in a way that we like. How many times have we denied what we want and instead sought after what God wants, even if it means change that makes us uncomfortable, even if it means moving things in a church that we don't like to be moved? That's hard, I know. But that's the way of the world, which tells us to focus on making it about ourselves. Jesus says the right way has to be that the connection, the focus, the priority has to be God. And the good news is, Jesus came to reconnect us with God, to that right relationship. It's in prayer that we can talk to God. Not only talk, but we can hear him, and that we can receive that Holy Spirit who helps us to let go of the things that we don't want to let go of, who helps us to let go of that piece of painting that we want just so in this place, that helps us to let go of the hymn being changed to one that might be different from what we like, but one that might bring others closer to God. Because it's not about us, you see. It's about God. The good news that I need some water. The good news is that our Lord has started something new. And as we have focused on this time, this 40 days of Lent, on prayer, it's amazing what God has done. Do you know that at 1:30 p.m., we've been praying for each one, all the people that come to our church? We've been bringing you to God because we want God to start a revival in us. We all have concerns, don't we? We all have hurts and wounds, and those are the things that we bring to God, don't we, in church? We bring it in a transactional mentality, unfortunately. We say, okay, God, you fix this for me, and I'll do this for you. That's not the right way, my friends. Yes, God can heal us. God can help us, our families. God can help our neighbors. God can help our kids, but if we bring it to him with that mentality, with that marketplace mentality, it's for our own glory, and that's not going to work. However, if we bring it to God, if we bring our loved ones to God, ourselves to God, with the hope that they would just, and we would just have a right relationship with God, that it would be for the glory of God, that would change everything in this church, my friends. Have you ever entered your home, a safe place, and just felt loved and accepted? Where you felt that you didn't have to pretend, where you didn't have to carry the burdens of the world? You know, we have to pretend out there at work. We have to be proficient. We've got to produce. And unfortunately, that means pressure, stress, But we need a safe place where we can let go of all these things that we hold on to and find peace from the wounds that we have, from the pain deep in our hearts of loss. And we all have lost, God, friends, that God knows about. This place needs to be a house of prayer that when you enter in, you feel the Spirit. You feel a lifting of all these things that you've been carrying, that you've been trying to fix on your own. Have you been trying to fix things on your own? And when it doesn't work, have you brought it to God saying, God, fix this, do this, expecting in return a miracle? There's nothing wrong with a miracle, my friends. We serve a God who can do anything. But if the priority and if the thinking is a marketplace transactional thinking, it's not going to work because it's not for God's glory. We need to come with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right spirit. And my friends, there's nothing that God cannot make right. And you think about this and you wonder, well, that's a tough order. Think about Abraham. Think about Abraham who was tested, who was told to give up his son, his only son, right? The son he had waited 90-something years for, that was supposed, through him, God promised, descendants as numerous as the sands and the stars in the sea. And here's God telling Abraham to give up his son Isaac. Why? Because God wanted Abraham to have the right priority. Once Abraham was willing to even give up his son, God did not need Isaac. God wanted to bless Abraham, but once the priorities were in order on that mountain, God met Abraham and provided the sacrifice for him. And Isaac was given back as a gift because the priorities were in the right order. What are our priorities, my friends, when we enter into God's house? Is it to seek what we want? Is it for God to do things our way? Is it to be comfortable? If that's the mentality, we're coming in with the wrong attitude. However, if we come into this place wanting a reconnection with God, wanting God to have first place, seeking what God wants us to do, then my friends, get ready for a miracle. Get ready for God to do something huge, to make a way where it seems impossible, to open that tomb where it seems shut, to bring new life where there seems to be death. My friends, God gave up his only son for us. There's nothing God will not do for us, but at the end of the day, God is God, and God will not tolerate having other gods before him, having anything else but him in the first place of our lives. So let's get it right. Let's put our priorities back in order of making this place a house of prayer. And I invite you to join us 1:30 p.m. wherever you are to pray for a revival in our church. In our hearts first, because it's got to start with us. We can't give what we don't have. Pray for a revival. Pray for this community, this area, and see what God does. My friends, I pray that our lives might be changed. The community might be changed for God's glory, not for us, but for God's glory. And the good news is, when we seek God and his kingdom, all the other things will come. All the healings, all the things you're looking for, they will come. But they can't be first, you see. It's got to be the right order. Let's seek God and his kingdom first, and all other things shall be added in God's time as well. Amen.